At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is RJ Harvey. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. I'm Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier, coming to you live from Mobile, Alabama, from day one of the 2025 Senior Bowl. I can't believe it, man. The 14th annual trip to the Senior Bowl here at Roster Watch. And a bunch to get to today, as always, man. Day one can sometimes be deceiving. And we're just going to give you our first impressions on a lot of these guys. I feel like we got some answers to a few things. We'll go through quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end, just as far as the skill position guys, the fantasy guys, but also give some thoughts on, you know, some pretty interesting happenings as far as the defensive players, offensive line, all that stuff. But let's start out, Cody, by just with going position by position. Let's start. Are we going to do national and American? Or are we just going to do positions?
Let's just do positions.
Okay.
So the quarterbacks we dealt with today, this morning, it started out with Tyler Shook from Louisville. We had Dylan Gabriel from Oregon, Taylor Elgersma from L'Oreal, the Canadian. And then the afternoon quarterbacks or the later quarterbacks was Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. We had Jalen Milroe from Alabama, Riley Leonard from Notre Dame, and Seth Hennigan from Memphis. Those were our seven quarterbacks. Since Will Howard opted out earlier this week because he played in the national championship, obviously.
Yeah, so all the Ohio State guys opting out. But, you know, Riley Leonard played in that national championship. He didn't opt out.
He didn't. I mean, the rust didn't – I mean, he didn't have no rust, obviously. Yeah. He just played.
A bunch of opt-outs. Like, Texas had four of their five opt out. Penn State, I think they had all but one.
A lot of those guys went back. Running backs went back to school.
A lot of, man, next year they're going to have to do something about this, about the, I don't know. They're not going to cater the schedule of the college football playoffs to have anything to do with the Senior Bowl or.
But it all goes stuff together, though. I mean, they've already scheduled the one in 2 years to be like on the 27th of January. Like, that's a problem for the process to run as smoothly as it should and can.
And it's also just too long for the college football season to last.
Maybe start earlier in August.
Yeah,
that's a conversation for another day.
Yep. All right. So as far as the quarterbacks, for me, it was pretty. Look, and it's just one day of practices, but as far as ball placement, touch, accuracy, velocity, everything, we got into that national practice and we're like, dude, Dylan Gabriel is just so much better than these other guys. I mean, we knew he was better than Tyler Shuck. We weren't exactly sure what to think about the Canadian kid because who knows who's ever heard of this guy. We have no all 22 on him.
We had just heard he had a big arm. He's like 6'4". He's going to come in here and rip it. And he did. I mean, he showed some stuff, but he just lacks a lot of touch, which I think a lot of these guys ended up showing today. Where Gabriel, I thought you just talked about it, he was probably the most consistent of the day. Once they got into team, it was like Gabriel was dialed.
Yeah. And the man, it's wild about, because I was thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, I wish I could see him apples to apples later on versus
with Dart,
versus like Leonard, Dart, Milroe, and just kind of see how he looks versus those dudes, right? Because that's probably where we're going to get our best quarterback play, clearly.
Yeah.
And Gabriel, to me, looked the best out of any of them today. And like, you know, like we always say about these quarterbacks on the first day, it's sometimes a little bit better
to wait until, you know, day three. Sometimes it takes a little while for them to get settled in, get figured. These are all new wide receivers. This is all new stuff they're having to do. Jackson Dart, God bless him, for the first time in his life is having to get under center. And you know what I mean? Like, so it's sometimes it takes a minute to kind of get into the groove of it. But that being said, Dylan Gabriel comes right in and looks right at home, takes to it like a duck to water. Maybe it goes to show, like, start with UCF,
Oklahoma,
and then Oklahoma, then Oregon. So, I mean, he's gone from place to place and had to do new things.
10-year vet, man.
Yeah, he is. he's small. He's short. You kind of walk by him. He's like he's kind of, you know, not the ideal size that you would like. But as far as just, you know, distributing the football around, making all the throws, he was doing it all today. I couldn't believe the stat. And Cody, you think that this is kind of what do you guys say? Cap? You think it's cap about how it's 74.9. His 74.9 miles per hour today, as far as velocity on his hardest throwing ball.
Well,
that breaks the combine record is tied between Josh Allen and Joe Milton at 62 miles per hour. You said that you think it's kind of cockamamie to compare.
Well, the reason I said that is because it's a different situation. Whereas here they have, I think the chip in the football for Zebra, whereas at the combine they have a radar and they're throwing the football into a pad as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense to me. One of the numbers is wrong, and we love Zebra and they give a lot of good data, but I think the point more so is like one of these something's different here. They're not equal, like mile per hour, mile per hour.
Well, I mean he looked good today, but he didn't, like, I've seen Josh Allen and Joe Milton both, yeah. I didn't see Josh Allen on that field. I saw Josh Allen at Ladd Peebles, but I've seen Milton on that same field.
Yep.
And to me, I didn't come away from here thinking that was a
– You didn't notice until it was on the screen.
I didn't think it was a Josh Allen, Joe Milton, Jordan Love kind of hose, if that makes any sense. Yep. It just looked like really good place balls. Man, Cody, I think that he made his wide receivers look better. I think that's probably why the national team wide receivers looked better. They said they had better quarterback play, maybe, or maybe they're just better. Maybe they're just better, and we'll talk about those guys.
So here's your highest initial air speed, which is that stat. This is all time for Zebra in the years at the Senior Bowl, which is since 2018. The highest number was 76.8 for Clayton Tune, 76.4 for Milton, 76.2 for Tyson Bagent. Those were the top three. They don't have today's numbers plugged in here, but he was at what, 74.8?
Did they have Josh Allen or Jordan Love?
No, it's since 2018. Love would have been 20, but Love's not in the top 15.
Huh.
Love. They do have Josh Allen, 66.1.
So I don't know what this thing really
– Herbert, 66. So it's highest initial
air speed. So Bagent and Clayton Tune are the highest?
And Milton, all at 76.
Huh. I'm not sure what to make of this particular analytic marker.
Highest average initial airspeed, Baker Mayfield leads out 48.5, Pickett 48.3. Josh Allen down at 46.8. So, like I said, it's different than you can't. I saw somebody tweet it out. You can't compare the two apples to apples. They're different statistics, even though they're called miles per hour. Nonetheless, we saw it pop up on the screen. We thought Gabriel was the most consistent of all the quarterbacks, especially when you
really
got
the team. It
really
wasn't close.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't even. And I was at the Shrine Bowl. Came from here. Like McCord was fine at the Shrine Bowl, but comparing every quarterback I've seen, which now is 16 in the last 4 days. Gabriel's the most consistent, which we've known. I mean, 60-plus career games, what he's done at Oregon, leading them to an undefeated season up until the playoffs. Like, we kind of expected it. I think I just had his numbers up here, official height, weight, and stuff, was 5'10", 5'10", 4", 202.
Small.
Only his left. Okay, so they measured his left hand, which is what it is, 9 inches exactly.
And so, like, we were so worried about, like, Jared Goff's hands at that size. You know what I mean? Like, and people were worried about, you know, Burrow's hands and stuff.
That's clearly the threshold, that though, right? Nine. You got to be nine.
Well, I mean, Gil Brand always said 9 1/4, but yeah. 9 is probably 9 is probably fine, is probably the way to think of it. 9 is probably fine.
There you go.
9.25. It's like, you know, it's kind of what it is.
Maddie Cubans in the chat. We appreciate everybody in the chat. Please click that like button. Please click subscribe here on Roster Watch.
Yeah.
Follow everything at Roster Watch. We're tweeting out as much as possible. Maddie says, me thinks it's cockamamie.
Yeah, me thinks it's cockamamie.
The Dillian Gabriel.
Maddie Keywomb. Good to hear from you, brother. anything. Speaking of hands, what about Jalen Milroe?
Was that maybe the surprise of all the weigh-ins and measurements? Was that maybe the biggest surprise?
8 3/4 inch. Well, because he looks like such a grown man. I figured Jalen Milroe was going to come in here and he's gonna have like 10 inch hands and he's just going to be I never really noticed anything with him about. Any way it might affect it, because you feel like it would have to affect your throwing motion to some degree. And you know, he does have that. Sometimes he can have that deal kind of, compact where he just sort of flicks it out like that. You wonder if that's going to, because clearly with Milroe, look, he's going to have to get, or I would say the thesis with Milroe, if you've watched him these last couple of years, is he's going to have to get with somebody that's going to work with him and develop him into a better passer. Right.
Richardson, like Allen, like all those guys.
If that's gonna take doing anything with changing his throwing motion and stuff like that, or like I'm not a quarterback guru that understands whether it's as much like footwork or whether it's like his feet aren't attached to his delivery or whether there's things having to do with his progressions or all. I kind of think with Milroe, it's a whole lot of that. I think it's kind of everything. You just wonder if it's the stuff that has to do really with the actual delivery. Will that limit a quarterback coach and what he can do with 8 3/4 inch hands? It's like, those are really small hands for a guy that seems so big and athletic. And then whenever you see him out there, dude, he just takes too much time. He gets sacked, man. And all those plays, they were going 3/4 speed in a lot of team drills today, but all of them, like it would have been sacks.
Yeah. That's why we talk about the setting. When you think of a guy like a Malik Willis or Richardson or Milroe, this is not a setting we typically – and you have to take that into account too. This is not a setting you typically see those guys thrive. Even Riley Leonard, to a certain extent, runs the ball a lot. He's not going to thrive. Riley Leonard actually was not bad today in that when you know how much he runs the football. Milroe, like you said, holds onto the ball. In college, you can get away with holding onto the ball because, A, you got a good offensive line, and, B, he has the scramble ability when scrambling is a zero here.
At the Senior Bowl, if you tuck the ball and run under pressure, you just did something kind of bad. You just did something that nobody wants to see. They're not here to see it. It's like they're like, man, we know you can run. Yeah. We're not here for that right now, right? We want you to go to your first read. If you can't go to your first read, we want you to go through this little easy progression. And like, we wanted to see you get the ball out of your hands. And like, we weren't seeing that quite as much for Milroe to a certain degree. I think Leonard as well. And like you said, these kinds of setups are a little bit tough for those guys that are going to rely on that as a legit part of what they're going to do at the NFL level. Right. It's like Jayden Daniels was awesome this year, but being able to identify when he could pick up a quick 17 dart off for 17 yards, that's a big deal. So, I thought Milroe looked rough. And then as far as Jackson Dart, I think that, man, to me, the jury is just still a little bit out.
Give him one more day.
I'm going to give him through the draft process, but like definitely give him another day or two here at the Senior Bowl while we're going to be here to see if he kind of, I don't feel like he looked bad, but he
struggled with the snaps under center. And they put him in that situation. He, I was to pull him up. He's got 9.5 inch hands. He was 6'1", 7/8" height and 226 pounds, 9.5 inch hands. And he's obviously in the Lane Kiffin offense. We kind of talked about coming in, how's he going to look? Because in Lane Kiffin's offense, it's a lot of receivers that are built to be open when the ball's there. It's a very simplified offense for a quarterback to get open receivers. Here it's different. Also, we didn't take into account was the under center thing. They put him under center today. And
he's like, oh, no.
He's like, there's a couple of botched net. I think that was more on the center than anything. But also, he just hasn't been in that situation. There's also the fumble with Devin Neal before. But I think Dart was fine. I mean, yeah. All these guys are pretty inconsistent outside of Gabriel.
Gabriel leads the way today. You want to go into running back?
Let's go to running back. Let's start with the national team, which is the first team we watched today. On the national side, the running backs were Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State, Jaquavius Marks from USC, Donovan Edwards from Michigan. Khalil Mullings pulled out, did not practice. He was opted out. LaQuint Allen from Syracuse, Damian Martinez from Miami, and Bashaul Tooten from Virginia Tech. My first thought was –
so we're just going national guys.
Yeah, let's just go national first. It's easier because there's so many names. Okay. On the national side, though, with Ollie – and I've been trying to find a comp for him, and it was one of those things that we talk about this every year. There's a couple guys, you show up, you see him, and you're bang. And for me, it was Ollie in that, like, I knew he wasn't Derrick Henry. I think a lot of people perceive him as, like, a 6'3", 245-pound, big bruising back. He had 1,700 yards and 23.
At Oklahoma State is who we're talking about.
For Oklahoma State. Yep. And this year, it regressed back down because the quarterback play was bad, the team was bad, and people are like, well, we're done with Ollie Gordon. And I showed up, and I looked at him, and I was like, man, this guy's – still smooth, still good, still looks good, 6'1.5", 230 pounds, 229 pounds. And to me, it was like, that is Najee Harris, that is Todd Gurley build, smooth. You said Le'Veon Bell.
A little bit of Le'Veon to his build.
I think Najee Harris ended up being a first-round pick. He was at the Senior Bowl. I'm not saying Ollie Gordon's going to be a first-round pick, but I think people need to remember, I've seen too many people talking about Ollie Gordon closer to running back 10 in this class than running back 3.
Well, that's just bad.
No, but that's realistic.
Well, they don't watch the 2023 tape.
You got to remember, it's not all, you know, that team was bad. It was one-dimensional and it was bad.
Everything went off the rails for Oklahoma State in 2024, everything. And the quarterback play was terrible. The offensive line was miserable. It's like I've told you before, man, like my brother-in-law went to Oklahoma State for undergrad, and I asked him at Christmas, I go, what's wrong with the team? And he goes, everything.
Yeah.
He's like, it was a perfect storm. The what I'll say about Ollie Gordon is what I'd written down for one at these events. And it's unfortunate because as we get to wide receiver, you guys will hear it's the microcosm of the class. This is a better running back class than it is a wide receiver class. It just is. It's going to be a really good running back class. Unfortunately, at these events, running backs are a little bit harder to evaluate than wide receivers. Yep. You don't get the pure, like, actual functional 1v1 matchups that you get versus wide receivers. We can see them actually, working their stems and doing these things versus a super talented cornerback in one-on-one drills, right? The best you're going to get is the inside run portion and the team portion of these drills. And whenever you see Ollie Gordon out there for one, it's kind of because he's so tall. He doesn't hold his weight like a 230-pound man. You know what I mean? And so that's why Cody says that this isn't a Derrick Henry kind of thing. He really isn't. He's a low, not to say – Henry's really low body fat too, but he's just he seems more kind of big and just slim. He's always like slender and big. You know what I mean?
It's more like a stallion than a Clydesdale,
right? Not super muscle bound or any of this stuff. It's just the way he moves is very, very smooth. And I just think we were talking with. Was that Ray G we were talking with about how it just reminds you a little bit, Oklahoma State, Chuba Hubbard, about how his second to last year is the monster year. You had Matt Rhule, whose wife comes in the second round of that draft to the Panthers and says, like, what's going on? Like, Chuba Hubbard kept you up like it. You couldn't sleep at night because of him. Why are you not drafting him? Do you remember that? And he's like, she's right. We need to draft Chuba. Sometimes you just can't forget. Like a year ago, we were talking about Ollie Gordon as the guy who was going to be like, people were saying he's going to come back and he's going to be RB1 next season. Now clearly Ashton Jeanty came in this year, obliterated that any of those hopes, even if Ollie Gordon would have been as good as he was before. But to think that this guy, we're just going to write him off, man, he really does look like a million bucks. Like Cody said, I think when you look at that first group, who else was in it? Was RJ Harvey or Jarvis?
No, that was the second group. The first group, that was Marks, who was fine. Donovan Edwards from Michigan, LaQuint Allen, Bashaw Tootin, and Damian Martinez from Miami.
Well, Martinez has some pop to him.
He was a lot smaller than I expected him to be thicker throughout the lower half than he was.
Well, yeah, dude, no one's RJ Harvey when it comes to those quads. I mean, but I think that with this group, it's Ollie Gordon and it's the rest. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about. I know you kind of liked LaQuint coming in, and then you know, four plays into practice, we were seeing Ollie Gordon having to pick up all of his bags and stuff because he can't get his feet right over him.
LaQuint had 10 1/4-inch hands. Well, not going to fumble.
He needed to use him to pick up all those tackling dummies he was tripping over.
Yeah, so I think it was a good group, but the jury's still out, I think, on that whole running back group. I think we need to see some more out of Edwards, Allen. Tootin had a couple splashes from Virginia Tech, but I think
I haven't watched him yet.
Yeah,
I need to watch him more. But I'll say about Donovan Edwards too. You know, he was talking today after practice, like he thought he had a really good practice. You know, and these guys, their agents tell them to do that when they're talking to media. I didn't think he looked bad. It's just that, man, I just have so many question marks about Donovan Edwards. And that in 2022, whenever he came in for Blake Corum, he goes off. It looks like, okay, if Corum comes back from this ACL in 2023, whenever they went on to win the national championship, prior to that year, we were saying, dude, does he even keep the job over Donovan Edwards after what he was able to do to in this 2022 season? And of course, Corum comes in, relegates him back to complete dust. And then this year, you have like Mullings come in, and they got a freshman,
Jordan Marshall.
And Donovan Edwards was like, he wasn't even what I was sort of hoping he would be. And somebody who could be not, you know, not saying he's a Kenneth Walker like player, but that sort of Kenneth Walker to like home run hitter. It's like, nope. I know his vision's bad at some plays. He's not going to be this professional running back like Blake Corum, where he just grinds it out for you, falls forward every time, gets you at least 6 yards. But a kind of guy that's like, he's going to get you a loss of three, he's going to get you a gain of one, you know, and next series he comes out, he's going to pop one off for 55 yards, right? That's kind of, you know, the level of dynamism that I had expected and that I'd seen from him. And I haven't seen that really since. I haven't seen that at Michigan this year. And what I will say is what I noticed today out of Donovan Edwards is that I still think that there's some issues that he has with his vision, navigating things through the in between the tackles and inside run drills. So
somebody I thought did do a good job falling forward, finishing runs, maybe to their detriment, was Jarquez Hunter, who I haven't watched a ton of, but I have seen obviously through the SEC through at Auburn. Jarquez Hunter had a big forward lean. I thought he had a good day. The American group at the running back position.
Yeah, why don't you read off the American group? Because it's really good. It's like, dude, the American group, if you're betting on this game, I'll bet you that the American group is probably going to be favored in the game.
The American group generally if
they have better running backs and better defensive line, that usually helps in this game.
American had the better O-line, the better D-line, and the better backs.
American was the second one?
Yeah.
Better lines, better running backs.
Technically.
Better group of quarterbacks.
Not the best quarterback.
So far after one day. And I'm not sure this whole thing with Dylan Gabriel holds up.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But the running backs in that American squad, Rashard Smith from SMU, good, who had a big season, also looked really good. Trevor Etienne looks slimmer. I think he was 203 pounds from Georgia. Devin Neal from Kansas. Marcus Yarns, super slight from Delaware. Interesting guy. RJ Harvey from UCF, who coming into the Senior Bowl, Nagy was on talking. He said that a lot of teams have Harvey as their highest graded senior running back outside of Travion Henderson. And then Jarquez Hunter from Auburn, who I just talked about a little bit.
Is Travion, is that like considered a lock that he's the best senior?
Yeah.
So it's like that's just saying Ashton Jinchy's the best running back, Travion's the best senior, and that's what just everybody. I'm not exactly sure that's right.
You think Harvey's better than Henderson?
I think that
you
I kind of
like Scatabo, don't you?
I like, well, Scatabo's not here. I love Jarquez Hunter too.
Scatabo opted out for not sure the reason.
Well, it's the same reason as the rest of these guys. That guy.
390.
That guy committed suicide on the football field versus Texas, just puking every other play and stuff. He's probably still recovering from that game. All right. So for me, Harvey, I give him the award for his lower half and his quads and through his butt and stuff like that. He get up close to him, you stand next to him, and you just realize he's like one of Cody's like powerlifting buddies. Man, it's cartoonish the way that it looks like they drew a cartoon of a guy that's got these, fake legs on him. Something that you might not notice on the broadcast film or anything like that, but he's just so, so powerful with so much lower body mass. Moves really well, really good vision. I think with Jarquez Hunter, it's what I've always noticed, that prowling forward lean and that contact balance. And it comes through in inside run drills. Comes through every single time. The one that sort of popped off to me the most, where at the end I'm looking at Cody, I'm like, dude, this guy's good.
He's the best back.
Is
Rashad Smith.
Rashad Smith. Now, I'm not Rashad Smith from SMU. And look, I'm not sure he's the best back. He's only 195. And it seemed like on a lot of his big runs, it would be the ones where he would be headed. He would be, for one, he was running behind two really good left tackles, the kid from Kansas and the Alabama A&M number 76 that is just a first-round monster. But even behind those guys, they would get those down blocks, and he would kind of squirt out to the outside. But once he did, man, making guys miss in space, and really just what I just said, he's consistently impressive with really good vision and breakaway speed upfield, like up the sidelines, and good hands. I think that Rashad Smith is somebody we definitely need to keep an eye on. I think if he gets up to that, Austin Eckler, McCaffrey, this, that, whatever they were, 202. I know we always say that we want him to be 206, but I think it would be fine if he's something like, I see you pulling up Bucky Irving.
That was my comp on my write up, 192.
And dude, I mean, he held up fine.
If he gets into a backfield, this is what we're saying though. If he gets into a backfield like that, where he's not going to get 300 touches, but he's going to get 200 with a Rashad White in the backfield with him. I mean, Rashad Smith had 1,659 total yards last year, 18 touchdowns at SMU. Like an opportunity for Rashad Smith to go somewhere in the fourth or fifth round, I think the door is wide open. I liked every bit. I wrote him up. And I actually had him ranked behind Damian Martinez, I think, through the first day. Martinez was he was a much different lower body type than I really expected.
Hold on. Is he really 230? What did Damian Martinez come in?
I think Martinez came in at like 220.
Huh.
I believe that's what – where did it go? Right there. 226, 8.5-inch hands. And he did not look 226. He looked 213.
He doesn't look 226, and that might be good.
Yeah, I liked him, but I'm just saying, I think as far as like the weight distribution, it just shocked me for Damian Martinez.
Yeah. And do you know what, man? I don't really have too much to say after one practice about Devin Neal.
I thought he was
thought he was fine.
Nothing wrong, nothing great.
Yeah. I just we'll need to see a little bit more out of him. I felt it's like some of those functional traits that I really love to see: the vision, the contact, the contact balance, the navigability through those small spaces, the sheddability through the hips. I knew I was going to see it out of Jarquez Hunter. I felt like I saw it really well out of RJ Harvey, and then sort of just in a tiny bit more of a satellite type of deal is SMU Rashad Smith.
There was also other running backs in that group was Marcus Yarns from Delaware and Trevor Etienne from Georgia.
And nothing against Marcus Yarns, but what is his superpower? What is he? Because I was asking you, was he like an uber productive? Was he one of these guys that rushed for like 2,800 yards or something? And it's like
he had 1,100 total yards this year with 11 touchdowns, 17 receptions. Like I said, he didn't have any 1,000 yard rushing seasons in Delaware, but solid football player. I thought he made a couple of splashes today,
but he's not
No pop.
He's not that big. He's not that fast.
No pop, no sizzle, but a little bit of flash. That was about what we got from Yarns. But also, he's coming from Delaware, a little undersized. I didn't ask him, but somebody in front of me asked him, who's some players you watch? And he said, Le'Veon Bell, which is 230-pound back, and Jahmyr Gibbs, who's 195-pound back. Oh. And if there's a role for him in something like that, I'd like to see what Marcus Jones does on day two and day three, because coming from a school like Delaware, usually the lower level school players, unless they're elite, it might take them a day or two to kind of get into it. Last guy from that group, running back, Trevor Etienne from Georgia, sub 205. He was like 202, 203, banged up a lot this year. 6 of his 9 touchdowns came against Texas. I thought he looked good in the receiving game. That was it.
That's exactly right.
All right, we'll move on past running backs, but we did get a super chat from Caleb Daniels. It says,
"Thank you, Caleb,
for $5. What are your thoughts on Ted Ginn Jr.'s NFL career? I remember him from 2011 scoring a punt return and kick return touchdown in the same game against Seattle.
Did you wake up today thinking you'd be talking Ted Ginn Jr.?
I did not, Caleb, but I will say I think I had a comp. Let me pull this up. I think I had a comp over here for Ted Ginn from one of the – I didn't. I thought I did. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, Ted Ginn. What do I remember from Ted Ginn? Ohio State legend. And
yep.
I remember him connecting on quite a few receptions with Cam Newton in Carolina.
Yep. Yeah, Teddy Ginn.
Do you remember anything about his dad? I mean, you went to the – did you go to the Texas-Ohio State game in 2003? Would have Ted Ginn been there for that one? With Troy Smith at quarterback?
That was a hazy time in my life, brother. It's hard to remember those college days.
Caleb, thank you for the super chat. We appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, but again, if you have questions about today's prospects, we might have a little bit of little bit better of an answer. I haven't thought about Ted Ginn Jr. in many years.
There it was. All right, let's go to receiver here quick. Let's go to the American team for receiver. We had Isaac Tesla from Arkansas, who's a late add. Tesla, T-E-S-L-A-A. Jamal Pritchett from South Alabama. We had Jack Besh from TCU. Chim Dike from Florida. Ty Felton from Maryland. Arian Smith from Georgia. Looked pretty decent for a little bit. Brew McCoy from Tennessee, 10-inch hands, the only 10-inch hands at the receiver group at the event. And Jalen Royals,
can we talk about Royals?
I don't want to, but I was going to kind of wait till tomorrow after practice.
What do you need to see tomorrow out of Jalen Royals, your guy? You could because you said it's going to take
– Well, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm driving the – I'm the conductor on the train,
yeah.
And the train has a stop tonight at about 9 o'clock. And I was going to roll over there and bring him some pre-workout because he needs some pre-workout for these routes.
Yeah, man. He Jalen Royals, who was he Utah State? Am mm-hmm. I getting that right? Mm-hmm. So Utah State. Well, you know, I came in like it was just so wild to me. I watched his film and I'm like, dude, that's Jaden Reed. And people like I got no pushback like from the All 22s from anybody saying that was wild or weird. I get here today, I'm like, that guy didn't look like Jaden Reed. He's got like he's much more massive through his legs. Cody talks about it. He's got the thick calves that go down to like kind of thick, you know, thicker ankles.
Which I will be honest with you, we talked about it right before he started, yeah. You know, and the lumbering.
Yeah,
the athleticism part.
He browns off his routes. He's lumbering, getting into in and out of his his route transition points and his stems. Very soft hands, good hands, extends to the football, frames it really well. Didn't see him drop a ball.
I dropped one.
One of these guys. Oh, right. On the out. Right. But, I mean, good hands. And the thing about him, too, I was trying to explain to Theo today, sometimes you can just listen to these when they're up close to you. You can listen to the passing drills. And some of these guys, man, whenever you hear the ball hit their hands, it sounds like a slap, right? And for certain guys like the Odell Beckhams of the world and the Cooper Cups of the world and these types of players, it sounds more like a – and with – I'm not saying that it's an Odell Beckham or anything like that, but he's much, much more on the kind of, you know, on the vacuum cleaner hands type, right? He soft hands, the soft, strong hands. But – as far as the dynamism that I saw, like a Jaden Reed, that's a bad comp Cody came up with a great comp as we were just sitting there. Cody and I being practice whisperers.
Deontay Johnson.
And then we get down there and people are asking him who he comps himself to. What does he say?
Deontay Johnson.
So the comp for the new comp for Royals is Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, if like
heavy, thick Deontay Johnson.
Yeah. And hopefully his NFL career is more.
Hopefully his mentality is a little bit better.
Yeah. I guess Deontay didn't have a terrible NFL career. It's just like it feels like it's really gone off the rails lately.
What do you think of Brew McCoy?
He can uncover
better than Higgins.
Oh God, Jaden Higgins.
Yeah. He was on the national team. We haven't talked about him yet, but
hold on. Have we not talked about
body guy?
What about Jalen Knoll? Is he on the other team?
He's on the other team. Yeah.
Okay.
We can kind of go all over the board though. And that, I mean, the national side also, that was the American side that I just read off. The national side, Pat Bryant from Illinois, number three, Daquan Felton from Virginia Tech, Xavier Restrepo, Alex's guy from Miami, Jaden Higgins, Iowa State, Kyle Williams, Washington State, Jalen Knoll, Iowa State, Jalen Lane, Virginia Tech. And then the teeny weeny tiny Tez Johnson from Oregon, 156 pounds.
Okay. Well, let's first start out with addressing the whole Tez Johnson, the 2-2 Tez. Okay.
Tiny 2-2 Tez.
Because you're going to hear from a lot of people about how good he looked today. And I'm not saying he didn't look good and he can't get open and he can't do all this stuff, but the guy weighs 158 pounds. And we were worried here 2 years ago about, can we really get this high on Tank Dell? Weighing 164
What was the conversation we had that day?
He's going to have to be a DeSean Jackson.
He's going to be DeSean Jackson or Kevontae Turpin. And we waited for 3 days. We watched him do it for three consecutive days, and he wasn't just separating. And I think when people need to realize is that in these routes, and we've talked about this a lot, in one-on-one with cornerbacks and receivers, it's more advantageous for receivers to be successful. Especially with guys that can separate a little bit, they're going to separate a lot of bit in these situations. You have to be able to skate. And we talked about this literally like so heavily about Tank, is that he could skate across the field, skate himself open. You have to watch it really closely because Tez
– especially with these guys lining up in the slot and they're giving him a two-way go. Like he's in the slot versus nickel corners. Like
You can't buy everything on Twitter.
It's the easiest spot to win in this whole thing is those one-on-ones with the choice routes. And so – We're not taking it away from Tez, right?
Correct.
If he continues to do it all week, that's fine. But if he doesn't, we're going to have to say that he, you know, at some point you have to call a ball or a strike here as far as just his Senior Bowl performance and decide, is he a Tank Dell or is he a Calvin Austin Jr.? It's like, you know, and that's sort of where we're going to have to be and follow that up. I don't think we can say he's Tank Dell yet.
We need 3 days of progression in separation at an elite level, not just you go on Twitter right now. People are doing it. You go on Twitter right now and you can see the videos of Tez. And they're, like you said, two-way goes where the cornerback's at a loss before the ball snaps because of the situation he's in. It has to be elite, next level elite separation, not just this natural speed. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just not how it's going to work in the NFL when you have 11 men on defense.
I mean, dude, I think that the guy that I came in and I was most sort of impressed, I mean, Jalen Noel from Iowa State.
Yep.
I think that his teammate, Jaden Higgins, who reminded me a whole lot of his he still does. Like a guy that we watched here at the Senior Bowl, Alan Lazard, also from Iowa State. I can't help it. They played for the same team, but they remind me of each other. He can't separate downfield. Jalen Noel can separate in all kinds of different ways. And as far as running the square drills, as far as the stuff getting into cuts, getting out of cuts, dropping his hips into his cuts and exploding out of them, he looked the best out of that whole group of wide receivers, a better group of wide receivers with Dylan Gabriel in them than the national wide receivers are better than the American wide receivers, at least from what I could tell today. And Jalen Noel, I think he impressed me the most out of all of them today. I don't think that
– I think you're right.
I'm not sure that's going to translate to in this wide receiver class. You know, as I'm looking at these guys, it's like I mean, there's so many dudes who are going to be ahead of the top of the, you know, I mean, I'm just like, you know, Travis Hunter and Burden and Ibuka and Ted McMillan and Trey Harris and the Texas guys like Bond and Golden. Then you start thinking about the guys that aren't here, right? Elik Iamanner didn't show up. Savion Williams didn't show up. It's like, how many guys did I just list off? It's like, what, eight, ten dudes?
Yeah.
So you start to see maybe what is the best wide receiver here at the Senior Bowl? Is it going to be wide receiver 10, 11, something like that? I don't think that that would be out of the question for a guy like Noel. And we're going to have to see it through the whole rest of the week. But I will say this. We go around between practices and we go BS with our friends that are, you know, people who have started coming recently to the Senior Bowl and doing the same stuff that we do. And you just ask them what it was basically the kind of consensus with a whole lot of people. I think you're going to hear about Jalen Noel from a lot of people if you listen to a lot of different, you know, voices about this stuff.
Noel came in at 5'9", 3/4", 196 pounds, 8.5-inch hands, 72.5-inch wingspan. I did mispronounce that because I got Noel and Jalen Lane from Virginia Tech mixed up. Jalen Lane was the one with the 76-inch wingspan. I was talking about that to you. I think I was talking about that to Ray G. He had a 76.25-inch wingspan, which was the most outlandish out of anybody because he came in like 5'9". But Noel was still fine in his length, 72.5. I think Noel was – when you talk about top to bottom performance on day one, the best receiver on the field, it was Jalen Noel. Like, it was clearly on his team, on the national team, which was to say with the better receivers like you just
and
talked
then,
about.
And then you just think about the other receivers on your team and you're like, well, who? Was it Brew?
And that's the thing. You have to go to the other side and you're Royals? Like, well, Arian Smith had good like warm-ups without contact versus air. And then when the corners came out, it was like he wasn't really separating the most. Brew McCoy won a couple reps, lost a couple reps. Royals, we talked about that. Ty Felton. That was the other one I was a little impressed
with.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have much to say on Felton, so you can go off on that.
I did the write-up on Felton over on Roster Watch. He was 6 foot, 186 pounds, sub-9-inch hands, fine length. He's young. He's 22 years old. I saw like a little Ryan Grant, little Khalil Shakir out of him. And today, you know, I think he's a fine receiver. I think what I said to you is this is a trash man guy.
Yeah. He's a trash man. Trash man will love him.
Trash man will love Ty Felton, I think, and I think he would have loved him if he's here. Is Ty Felton's nothing's pop, nothing's flash. Nothing's
I think the
sizzle.
Washington State kid is the real trash man.
Kyle Williams,
because he's just kind of good. He's just kind of good.
Yeah,
you know, I think Ty Felton's sort of that on the other team, right?
They're probably right.
Yeah.
But I think, okay, so in all, I think that was maybe the only other guy that impressed me today was Ty Felton just being at, like, the requisite level, but Jalen Noel was the best receiver. You want to go to tight ends? Because I do.
Yeah, is this just Elijah Arroyo and log off?
I think it's, pretty much. Elijah Arroyo and log off. He was at Miami. I remember making a tweet about a month ago about this kid. It was about Damian Martinez. I was watching Martinez.
Wait, before we go on to Miami, we got to talk about Xavier Estrepo.
You forgot about your best friend?
Yeah, well, he's not. I forgot about Miami's all-time leading wide receiver. And look, he's still good. He's workmanlike. He's journeyman-like. He's shorter than I thought. He's thicker than I thought. And he just doesn't.
Some people had him as a winner today.
He doesn't move quite as well as I thought. But he's another guy, man. I'm leaving the light on for him. You know, I'm going to hold it out. I feel the same way about Restrepo today as I feel about, like, Jackson Dart. As a guy who I think through the course of the week we're going to see this guy look. I mean, it's just like he comes in with a lot of good stuff. But today I just became a little bit worried. It was some of the – he just didn't look like quite the jitterbug that he was on tape all year at Miami. I was asking Cody, I'm like, does that have to do with Cam Ward? Does it just finding him the right little spots and stuff? It, like, because he only had Cam Ward in his last season there, and it wasn't like he wasn't prolific the season before. So with Restrepo, I'm kind of holding out hope. So I don't feel like he had the best day because he would have been the one that if he went out there and looked awesome, I would have been his biggest cheerleader and said, you know, spiking the football on Cody and saying, do you see, you should have listened.
Here's the problem is that like, you know this. I've been a fan of Miami for most of my life, as like from afar as a kid. And Restrepo, like, I like Restrepo. I never had a real problem. I think he's a good receiver. But when they listed him at like 5'11", I was like, this guy's not 5'11". He's like, you're like, well, Wes Welker, and I get that 100%. I think you're right. But when I'm looking at a prospect, I'm not looking for the guy. I guess maybe from a fantasy term, we should be looking at, because like, this is a PPR guy in an elite situation. But also, he had the best quarterback in the draft. He had a good back. He had a good team, good massive offensive linemen protecting, like,
two other good wide receivers,
Jacoby George. Sam Brown.
I didn't know that Jacoby George came out, but I saw he was at the Shrine Game.
He was good, very good route runner.
They said he was going to transfer. I guess he decided to come out.
Yeah, and then also Elijah Arroyo, who we're talking about here in a minute, but
and Sam Brown.
As far as intangibles go, Xavier Restrepo has the shortest arms at the event, the shortest wingspan, second shortest wingspan behind Jamal Pritchett at the event at the receiver position. So just again, the features are just smaller at the position, which is, again, isn't an exile, but he's just getting, you know, lead the light on. He's not Motel. Yeah. He's not Motel 8. He's Motel 7. We'll lead the light on for Xavier Restrepo. Let's go tight end really quick before we wrap up here. We do appreciate everybody, so please click that like button. Click subscribe. We'll be live tomorrow. And we'll be live again later this week as a full recap. Follow everything over at Roster Watch. Tight end, though, Alex, Elijah Arroyo from Miami, Florida, was not the most talked about tight end coming in. That was Harold Fannin, Jr. from Bowling Green, who was also on the same team.
I love the way that he can extend to a football so smoothly and not lose any speed.
Yeah. Prolific receiver this year at over 1,300 yards at Bowling Green. Different upper body. We'll talk about that. Terrence Ferguson from
Big
Oregon.
Big, long upper body. Kind of shorter legs. Yeah. Weird.
Boxy. A little boxy.
Yeah.
Gavin Bartholomew from Pittsburgh. Maliki Matava from UCLA. I butchered that. I understand that. But, I think it was a good group.
Mason Taylor.
That was the other team.
Okay. I don't have much to say about anybody except Fannin and
What'd you think of Fannin? You talked about his build a little bit, but Fannin's upper body is a little bit different than I kind of expected it. His upper body is a little boxy, lower body is a little like more like a receiver, kind of like that.
What is his arm or his wing?
Fannin?
Yeah. Do you have that readily available? Sorry.
No, I can yank it. I got all these graphics on my Harold.
I know it's no Shamar Stewart, but it's probably
Harold Fannin Jr. 6031, 238, 9 3/8 inch hands, 33 inch arms,
79.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he can extend his arms and like very really good hand eye coordination, right? Just really really good hand eye coordination, and I think probably we haven't seen much of them blocking and stuff yet, but as far as a receiving weapon, he looks hellacious to me, man. He can uncover, like, they were finding him, and you get it to his right spot, man. Like, just really really good at framing the football, like out away from his body, and then just getting up just the way that he didn't lose anything, you know what I mean? So With that being said, you just look at Arroyo and the way he can move, and you walk up to him after practice, and you're like, oh my gosh, what a unit this man is.
251 he came in at. He was looked at as in the 230s. Wingspan was 81 1/8.
I'm telling you guys about Elijah Arroyo.
Stud. The other side was Mason Taylor for the – I think that was the national team now. I got my thing mixed up here, but I think
that was the American team.
Yeah, that was the American team. You're right. American team was Mason Taylor, Fadone from Nebraska, Dupree from Alabama, Hawes from Georgia Tech. Those guys we didn't really notice at all. Burning Stool from Clemson was also out there, but Mason Taylor was kind of the pretty obvious piece in that offensive tight end.
Yep. I
like Taylor better than Fannin, I think.
I don't know. I think I maybe do too. But there's one. I mean, if there's one thing I know for sure, it's like those two. I have a lot of questions about. If I'm having to base it just on today, though, like Arroyo for me, based on one day, it's like the eyeball test. Like the eyeball test is it's kind of an easy eyeball test based on one. But again, that's why we're going to be here the next few days and making sure that we're keeping you guys updated. Do we got to get to another super chat here?
We got a super chat. We also got a bunch of offensive linemen, defensive linemen that had good days. Well, the top 10 thoughts over on Roster Watch on the X account. So make sure you go over there and follow. We got a super chat from Jeff D'Agostino. He says $5. We appreciate you, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Dynasty thought, is 2025 more deep than it is great? And is putting early 2025 picks into 2026-27 optimal?
Probably.
More deep than it is great. In context of position-wise, receiver flatlines pretty quickly after you get through, I think, the top six or seven. And then you're going to lose your depth. Running back, if you need running back in Dynasty, and which that's a whole different conversation. But if you need running back in Dynasty, this is your year to just – have all the second, third round picks and hammer them. I would be looking to move picks to get 26 and 27 for receiver, for quarterback, if you're looking that direction. But as far as this class goes, I think it's running back and tight end.
But don't be moving them yet, right? Wait until you're on the clock.
Yeah.
You know, wait until somebody gets that rookie hunger and that rookie thirst. And they're saying like, all right, you want to move up and get your guy? RJ Harvey is available right here at the 204 and you're dead at running back or whatever. All right, like I'll give you this too. I need next year's one though. Yeah. You're not going to be able to get that right now because they don't know they're not hungry for their one guy that they have perceived as slipped to them. Yep. Right. So I'd be thinking about that. I'd be using it as your draft strategy in your rookie drafts, but I wouldn't go ahead and try and implement that strategy until your league mate is like hungry and he's fraught, like he's like a deer, he's like a white-tailed buck in the rut, just like tongue is out, he's got snot coming out of his nose, he's like I just want RJ Harvey, you know what I mean? Like that's when you got to get him, man, because he just won't be able to he won't be able to help himself.
Any other closing thoughts?
Number 76 from Alabama A&M,
Carson Vinson,
send him to the Hall of Fame.
Jonathan Ogden 2.0.
Sitting in the Hall of Fame, man. I said at the end of that practice, they were putting up the best on the best. And I said, when are we going to get Vincent versus Shamar Stewart? When are we get 76 versus 14? Lo and behold, the last rep of the whole thing, they go, let's get out from Alabama A&M. We're like, Vincent, like from Texas A&M, get number 14 out of here, Shamar Stewart. Shamar
Stewart.
I get him and Turner mixed up, obviously. A&M guy's named Shamar. And we got to see it, and 76 comes out on top. Unbelievable. Other than that, I say, number zero for Kentucky.
Deion Walker. The NFL cannot mess this up.
They can't mess
this up. This is the type of thing you see Philadelphia the last couple of years. Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Quinyon Mitchell. If they mess this thing up with Deion Walker and let not the Eagles, but the Chiefs get Deion Walker to replace Chris Jones.
How are you going to let the Chiefs get Deion Walker, the next Calais Campbell?
An annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.